Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey guys, it's Jeremy Warner from Milan Enquirer. I know you're annoyed by my tweets probably by now of all my gifts and promoting our sale right now, but I'm going to do it one more time just because I want all of you that haven't seen it yet to know about our 75% off annual VIP sale going on now through Tuesday, September 6th. So if it's Tuesday, September 6th and you're listening to this, you need to take advantage of our 75% off sale for all new users. If you've never tried Alana Enquirer VIP access, try it now. You're going to save more than $80 off VIP membership. The most in-depth Illini coverage analysis from Jay Layman and Michael Tulip. That's worth it alone. Then, of course, recruiting coverage on the basketball side from Derek Piper, the best there is at doing it. The most in-depth Illinois football recruiting reporting from me, Ryan Easterling, and Joy Wagner, and our team of national experts that is the best team in the country, whether it comes to basketball or football, and of course all our great Illini coverage going along with it. So we work hard for you. Ask any of your friends that are VIP members, and I believe most of them, a lot of them, will tell you it is definitely worth it, especially if you're getting it for $2 a month, which is what you can get with a 75% off sale. So hurry up because you don't have a lot of time, but take advantage of it and save more than $80 and get great Illini coverage along with it. All right, let's get to the football chat with Jay Layman coming up next on the Illini Enquirer podcast.
Welcome to the Illini Enquirer podcast. Didn't take us long to get to a tough Monday with Jay Layman. And Jay, it didn't take us long to feel the weight of Illinois football. In what should have been a win, you steal a defeat from the jaws of victory at Indiana. Just overall thoughts on what was just a heart-wrenching loss.
Well, I got good news and I got bad news, okay? So let's start with the bad news first. And the bad news is this. We should have won that game, and we did not. We did everything we could to lose that game. Brett mentioned it in his press conference. The red zone trips and the ineptness in the red zone and in the goal line, just very, very difficult to stomach. Obviously, the touchdown getting taken away on the review. It should have been touchdown, rather. Pat Bryant dropping a touchdown pass from Chase Brown on the halfback pass. Too many opportunities to really mention here, but the good news is I do believe we're a much more complete football team than last year, defensively and in throwing the football and even in our run game. Now we had obviously some holes that we can address and whatnot and what happened on Friday night. But I think if I put this team against last year's team, I think this team would win 8 or 9 out of 10 times.
I want to dive into that, Jay, because I do think they dominated that game in almost every area outside of the turnovers, drops, penalties, like the stuff that loses you game. Like, they had to do all of that to lose the game because I thought they were the better team. And let's start with the offensive side of the ball, Jay, because as frustrating as it was that they couldn't score, they moved the ball, right?
Sure.
Like we saw 200 plus yards passing, 200 plus yards running again. Chase Brown looked great. So before we dive into too many of the negatives,
sure.
How is Barry Loney with this team that couldn't move the ball last year? How are they able to move the ball up and down the field to get 5 red zone
shots? Yeah. So great question. And first I'll just, I've said this a lot on this podcast, but you know, good teams in the Big Ten can run the ball and stop the run. average teams can do one or the other and bad teams can do neither. Yeah. And we did both. We ran the ball and we stopped the run. And, but because of those penalties and turnovers and whatnot. So I would say this, I really like Barry Lunny's game plan. I think he really lets players play within their ability. Chase Brown is special. We know he's probably the best overall football player on the team this year. So I think he, it, did it hurt sometimes not to have McCray and then he had to sit down and in critical times he couldn't go in? Yes, that happened a couple times last year in critical times, right? I mean, he kind of gets us down there and by the time he's done three or four runs, we're in the high red zone and we just, you know, there's a different gear when Chase Hayden or maybe Reggie Love comes in. But I want to talk about the question of Barry Lunny. I thought he did a tremendous job being balanced in the first half. Really a lot of different run pass. You look at it, it was like 50-50. I thought a little bit in the second half, they kind of became too reliant on the defense and a little bit of what I'll call Bielema ball, which is we're going to run the clock out and control the clock and didn't trust DeVito as much as I would like them to trust DeVito at this point. But I think DeVito, if you took away some of the drops that he had, he could have had a tremendous game. I think he had a good game, but there was a couple drops. I mean, you got a touchdown taken away from Hightower, which was ruled a drop, right? Isaiah had a couple drops. Pat Bryan had a couple drops. I think he could have had a phenomenal game. He puts him in position to make those plays and also gives him the green light to pick up those three or four first downs we talk about a lot. You know, can he pick up three or four first downs with his feet? He did that. Could he pick a two or three first downs with a big pass to Isaiah on that slant route, you know, to pick up a first down? Like they picked up some good first downs. We had that. That's why I thought we were going to finish the game because we were getting those first downs. It ended up not being enough. I thought they'd become a little bit more reliant on it. I thought they were very creative in their play calling the first half. The second half, it's like, let's just get out of Bloomington with a win. But they weren't able to get enough points to get that win. And so I do think Barry Lunny's done a tremendous job as far as adding some flavor to this offense. I thought overall from a team mindset that became a little conservative late in the game.
Yeah, I think that's really, really fair, especially on some of those late drives, as you said, in the red zone. The one time they got aggressive, Jay, was that, you know, route down the seam to Isaiah Williams. And that's, they're also, that's the area I don't know if this team has in them is that deep ball connection, sure. Right? Because Isaiah, you know, I even thought Tommy threw a good deep ball early in the game on the sidelines. Isaiah is just not very long. And while he's fast, he's not burner fast, I think. Right. So he couldn't catch up to that one, but you know, Tommy threw one behind Ryman. He threw one, that one, I know Isaiah missed time, but I thought the ball could have been better. That's an area they got to improve. Right. And that's maybe a ball. Maybe you do want to be conservative on maybe check down, but that's the one thing this offense, you know, seems to be missing because the way they're getting Isaiah involved, Hightower involved, it's definitely better in this short to intermediate game.
Well, I think we see bits and pieces of Isaiah Williams being fantastic. And also the fact that he's only really played receiver 2 years. Yeah. You kind of see for as good an athlete as he is, a couple things you're like, man, he shouldn't make that play. He should have made that play, whether it's a catch. I definitely think he mistimed his jump on that throw. And he doesn't have a huge catch radius. That simply means it has to be decently on target for him to catch the football. I think that's just a product of him only playing the position really 2 years. Sometimes just maybe not catching, looking before the ball is caught or just mistiming things. Other times he's electric. He's explosive. He is the one guy you're like, wow, I shouldn't say one guy because Chase, but when we throw the football to him, you know, you're like, he can get some yards up for catch. I thought though, I mean, early on, they took some shots, like took Hightower and Isaiah. And although Tip Ryman has been good blocker. And I think he's a huge asset in the run game. I think he's got a little bit to go in the pass game. It's as far as awareness, is the ball coming to me? Is it not coming to me? It seems when they throw him down the field, he's a little bit surprised by it sometimes. Again, he's a young football player. I think he's going to get better. This is also a first-year quarterback. We see a lot of timing issues on stuff. Ball comes out a little quick, little late. That's the problem when we have transfer quarterbacks playing 1 year, right? And so there's a lot of things that add up to all these things. Although I think DeVito's playing the highest level of quarterback than we've seen in probably half a decade. So I can't really knock the kid. I think he's gutsy. I think he's tough. I thought that he played within himself tremendously and made big plays when he needed to make big plays. And we haven't even talked about kind of the reshuffled offensive line. And I think that was a huge factor in the game.
Yeah. I mean, Julian Pearl, a late scratch in that game. Jordan Slaughter comes in, plays left guard. Isaiah Adams went out to left tackle, and I thought he looked like a natural. I thought he played really well. I think Palcheski played really well. Right. The interior O-line still feels like it needs to settle in here, Jay. And what are you seeing from this offensive line, and what did you see without Julian Pearl?
Honestly, I thought Isaiah Williams played played really well. I know people will say he gave up that sack late, like in the game. But I think overall, if you look at his body of work for getting shifted over there, I'm sure he repped it during practice this week, but I think it was solid. It just doesn't seem on our zone plays, we're moving in unison. And here's a problem. If you don't move in unison on zone plays is you create vertical seams within your line that linemen can then get in, you know, and make tackles for loss. With a back of Chase's caliber and as fast as he hits the hole, there really should be very little tackles for loss. And we're having too many of them early in the season. At other times, I will say they seem to be really good at getting to the second level, and our receivers tend to be blocking well. It just seems like at the point of attack, we have some issues sometimes with the D-line, but as far as getting up to the second level, like if Chase gets 2 or 3 yards, he's likely going to get 7 to 8. You saw a lot of 7 to 8 yards. You saw a lot of second and three downs. You saw a lot of second and twos. And that's because, you know, that's just kind of way that Chase was built up on it. And so they got to work though on the point of attack, especially in the middle. I think that they're still working out with the Pilstrom Slaughter kind of combo, a Chrysler combo. Hopefully it gets better.
Is that strength, Jay? Is it technique? What do you think it is?
I mean, I think a little bit of strength, technique. I think a lot of it's playing together. I mean, those 3 or 4 guys have not maybe played together a ton. A lot of those guys are newer faces. Chrysler and obviously Adams are JUCO guys. Pilstrom, you know, and Slaughter have been here, but don't have as much experience. And so on the offensive line, you do need a lot of experience, but you can see how much Chase Brown actually erases the errors of the offensive line as well. Because if you put Reggie or Chase in, you're like, well, we can't run the ball. So that tells you that.
Is that a concern, Jay, for you? Because I thought Reggie against Wyoming, it's Wyoming, but I thought he showed some burst. He had one good run. I thought the O-line blocked pretty well, but
yeah.
They didn't trust those guys, obviously, when Chase is getting 36 carries. And, of course, you want to feed your stud, but 36 might be a little too much.
Well, and he said that's not sustainable, right? And I mean, let's not forget. I mean, it was probably 3 or 4 games that Chase couldn't finish last year. You know, I don't think he finished Penn State. I don't think he finished – I mean, it was never devastating injuries, but he runs so violently. He runs a lot to me – has a little bit of that angry run like Adrian Peterson runs anger. I'm not comparing him to Adrian Peterson. I think he's got a better top end, probably not as strong as Adrian, but he's a unique player. This guy can be as good as Rashard Mendenhall. He can be as good as Michael LaShore. I really believe that. Now, will he get the numbers of those guys? Certainly on pace to do that. And Brett's coached a lot of good running backs, but we've got to keep him healthy. And he is a huge component to it. And I think we're seeing the benefit as well as an increased passing attack. We asked ourselves last year, how many yards would Chase have if we could actually complete the ball? I think they're having to respect DeVito a little bit more with his ability to throw. Do we have a ton of weapons? No. I think with some of the drops, we'll see a Hank Beatty in there. Is it Hank Beatty from Rochester?
How do you get him in, Jay? Because everyone's asking that. And man, it's nice to have a couple slot receivers you like, right? Sure. How do you get him in without taking Isaiah off the field and with staying strong in the run blocking game? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he'd be pretty small at wide out.
That's the big question. I mean, I think you're going to have him in on in what we call 10 personnel, which is one back and 4 wide receivers. You know, I think it'd be hard pressed to put him in 11 personnel, which is one back, one tight end, and three receivers, because you got Isaiah, you've got Hightower, and probably Pat Bryan. And Bryan and Hightower do block well down the field. They've coached him up well. You'll see him on tape. And that's some of the reason that the Chase has had some big runs. But I do think that Beatty's going to come into more situational football. Third down, they brought him in for a big catch on the slant route because they knew, hey, he's going to catch that contested catch. That's not an easy catch to catch on the slant route, right? And so I think they have a tremendous amount of confidence in him. You know, I think they need to get a little bit more confidence in Tip, because I think Tip has beat out Luke Ford as far as being the first guy out there and maybe blocking-wise. But I still think Luke might have a few more ball skills when it comes to catching. Now, Luke, you know, obviously had the fumble and whatnot, but got to get those guys up to speed, because we just need as many weapons as we can in the passing game. Again, are we better than last year? Absolutely. I really think we're better. Is it frustrating that we lost to a 2-10 team in Indiana? And yes, 100%. And it's a Big Ten game. Yes. But there's still a lot of football to be played.
Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Well, Jay, defensively, this felt like Purdue and Maryland, right? Like, these guys are getting every stop, and then they can't get that one extra one, or because their offense couldn't score another point. So there were a lot of good things defensively, right? I mean, Indiana couldn't run the ball. Johnny Newton was dominant up front. You saw guys like Jamal Woods play well when he was healthy, and Keith Randolph had some big plays. And then the DBs, man, they can hit. We'll get to some coverage issues, but – first play of the game, Devin Witherspoon trucks Shivers. I was surprised he came back in the game after that. Sidney Brown was cracking people, right? Sure. I mean, he was all over the place the other night. So before we get into the issues defensively, which there weren't a ton, but there were a few, what did you see again out of Ryan Walters' defense to just allow Illinois to hang in that game?
Well, first, and this is going to be a strong statement. I think we've got five NFL players at least on the defense right now. So I think Johnny Newton and Keith Randolph are draft picks. I actually think Witherspoon, Sidney Brown, and Quan Martin could be draft picks. I mean, you look at that defense last year, Tony Adams is on a roster with the Jets. We've got, obviously Kirby Joseph, right? And so they had some players, right? And I think there's five NFL guys for sure right now. Obviously there's younger guys and whatnot, but from what I can see right now, those guys are going to play on Sundays. So we've got long, fast, physical defensive backs. And so I like this defensive back crew, probably the best I can remember in a long, long time. I mean, they're more athletic than that 2007 team safeties. Those guys could hit, and Kevin Mitchell and Harrison and whatnot. We also had Vontae on that team and DeRay Hicks. And so we had some really good defensive backs, but I think this is a very strong unit, and the amount of faith they have in the one-on-one coverage with these guys is astounding to me. The way they're able to do that. And then that trickles down to the front where they're able to bring an extra guy to stop the run. But, Keith Randolph, I hope he stays another year. I know sometimes he doesn't necessarily – sometimes a defensive tackle or Johnny Newton, maybe they don't kill the stat sheet, right? But for me, it's all about disruption. And they were just so disruptive in everything that they did. I even saw Calvin Avery make some disruption moves and whatnot. He again, played well and whatnot. And even Bryce Barnes was disruptive at some time. So, like, they're getting some depth and whatnot. I think as far as why they're so good, I mean, Keith, we saw just last year coming on. I mean, plays with great hands, great extension, plays with an attitude. Johnny plays with incredible effort and leverage. So I really like what they're doing. What they were doing defensively was not complex and didn't need to be, because largely they were stopping them over and over and over again. So I'm really, really pleased with it. I think Tariq Barnes is a really solid player too. I wouldn't say Calvin Hart's been quiet the last two games compared to what he did in, you know, Nebraska. Definitely, you know, think he's probably still getting in the groove. And I think is it Isaac Darkangelo?
Yeah.
Or yeah, I think he's a guy they classify as a starter as well as looks solid.
Yeah, I thought he looked better. But that second level, Jay, that's the next step for that defense, is for those guys to make high impact plays, right? Like, I thought they're good with their run fits, all that stuff. But it's just some big plays, right? From those guys. How do you do that as a linebacker, whether it's like Coleman, whether it's Ezekiel Holmes.
They didn't need to bring a ton of pressure. I didn't see him bring a ton of pressure. Barnes in the past has made plays. Barnes has been a solid blitzing backer. And every now and then he made that good play on the option, you know, where he, you know, kind of took the quarterback and then whatnot. I just have not seen the production out of the backers as far as, hey, a tackle for loss here or getting their hands on balls that usually you would expect. It's been usually just the five guys we talked about, those defensive backs, even Taz Nicholson. I know, talk about a guy who bounced back, you know, after a silly penalty, you know, to cause that fumble two or three plays later. That was huge, you know. And so, and I think they said he was a little banged up. To fight through that and whatnot. So we got to see more backer stuff. Some of that is just, does the blitz come my way? Some of it was, honestly, the run game was gobbled up by the defensive line. It was either, you know, short, ineffective runs or one-on-one matchups with DB. So some of that was the game. I think they'll be tested though soon. I mean, Virginia kind of ran through our backers and everybody else last year. So they'll be tested, especially when it comes to the Big Ten. I think we need better play out of our inside backers, more production. But I do think Tariq Barnes, what I've seen out of him, he's been very, very sound. Maybe not the production we've seen, but very, very sound.
Yeah. DB's got beat a couple times over the top, sure. Jay. And sometimes they'll have, I mean, they play a lot of man-to-man, as you said, with Kendall Smith, the free safety kind of hanging over the top. But what did you see from those two plays, the touchdown after Luke Ford? And then seemed like one, Kendall got kind of bit up on a run fake, which was kind of not a run fake, but you know, Kirby Joseph was standing on the sideline, right? But he couldn't play for Illinois. So
let me just say this, you know, yeah. Well, first of all, you're starting to see that Kirby Joseph is a free safety who was put in position for success, much like Kendall Smith is put in a position. I mean, he had a pick drop in his hands. He could have had a second pick. So he could have had two picks in that game easy. Here's where Illinois is going to get hurt and where they do get hurt. When they're in man-to-man coverage for more than 3.5 seconds, it's hard for anybody. Mm-hmm. And we're not getting to the quarterback. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be breakdowns. A double move play, the drawback of a double move for an offense is that it takes a long time to develop. Hitch and go, wheel route. Those guys could be open, but do you ever get it to them? Well, they had time to develop it. The first one was Kendall Smith bit on that, right? And guy was open because there's no pressure on him. And so I don't know if I'd say surprised, but I don't think we've gotten the pressure that we've wanted on the quarterback. And that leaves the defensive backs out to drive. If you've got aggressive defensive backs, which I would say most of the guys are very, very aggressive and they're trained to be that way and they hit very well. The way to do it is to slow them down with counters, to slow them down with, you know, double moves. And so we've seen that, but that's pretty much what happened is either they're in coverage too long or they're too aggressive.
Yeah. Jay, I want to bring up two big plays. The fourth and one, yeah, I kind of like going for it. The way your defense is playing, you score that one. I don't know if he was going to go for two. He talked about going up two scores. I didn't know if he meant the touchdown and a two-point conversion or going for two and going up nine and basically ending the game there. But I like it because usually it's a 70% rate. You're going to get fourth and one at the goal. Yeah. But you set up the long field and you made him punt the next drive, but the play call didn't work. So in hindsight, was it the play call or was it the execution? What'd you think?
You know, I think when you're trying to develop a mentality like Brett is, I didn't mind them going for it on fourth down. I think what threw off that whole drive was that Chase was out for four or five plays. And you got off schedule, right? I mean, you kind of just, you had Reggie in there, and you just felt the confidence of the offense go down when Chase isn't in there. I think they had the right call on. I mean, they brought two guys off the backside, and the two guys would have taken, you know, Chase, and one guy would have taken Chase and one guy would have taken DeVito. They just both took Chase. So they kind of knew, okay, I think it was a pressure just to whatever side Chase was lined up on, because that's the side the quarterback will, you know, zone read and come out. So do I wish they had a little bit different call? Yeah. But if you go back to the history of the game, which is how an offensive coordinator is going to call it, Pat Bryant's dropped a touchdown pass. Isaiah has done okay. He's dropped some passes. A Hightower pass got called back. Chase has been your best player. It's fourth and one. I understand why they call it, right? And for the most part, you've been running the ball at 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 yards a clip, easy. So I don't necessarily mind it. They did have a good, the defense had a good call on it. You know, Cam Jones was kind of all over the field everywhere. And he was tough. And we knew that Tom Allen, if he's calling the defense, is going to bring a bunch of stunts. And I think they did create a lot of havoc, but at the same time, you know, a lot of those, you know, 10, 15, 20 yard runs were, you know, because they stunted and there's wide open holes too that Chase got. So it goes both ways. I mean, at the end of the day, there's no way Illinois should have lost that game because all the red zone trips, but we just had a lot of ill-timed penalties, ill-timed turnovers. They were pretty stiff on the holding. Usually if you have your hands inside, even if you get on the shoulder pad a little bit, they're not going to call, but they, you know, they called tip on one, our receivers on one. And I just thought, you know, it seemed a little nitpicky to me on stuff. One of the chop blocks that they called was really nitpicky as well. So, I mean, just not the chop block, but one of the other holding calls, but, and at bad times, right? I mean, put us out of field goal position and whatnot. So it was unfortunate to see.
Yeah, Jay. And I can get why the back judge or the guy on the goal line didn't call it a catch for Brian Hightower, because by the time he saw Brian, he was like fumbling with the ball. But we have the technology. And I don't know how that was not a touchdown. I don't think it's an excuse for Illinois, because there are so many other ways you could have won that game.
Sure.
But it clearly hurt, right? Like, that was a great play by Brian Hightower.
Clearly demoralizing. No matter what you want to say, you can say move on from it, right? But the announcer saw it. Dean Blandino saw it. I mean, here's the deal. By the time the ball comes out, his knee is down on the ground. So – and he has control of the ball, and the guy just tries to rip it out. There's an argument that he catches it twice too. If the ball is still alive, right? So he goes and catches it again. There's no other word other than it's disappointing. And I wouldn't be surprised if the officials call Brett and say, we missed it. Like, I would not be surprised. Thanks. I mean, it probably cost me a football game, but you know, we missed it. And this game was just such an eerily similar game to what we'd experienced in 2006, just dominate in a lot of different ways. You'd run and you would stop them defensively, and then you would turn the ball over and have penalties and lose the game, you know? And so kind of to Brett's point of, you got to stop losing games before you can win games. We're still growing in that piece.
So Jay, can you take me through that? Because we talked a little bit about this last year. But 2006 led to 2007, even though you guys went 2-10.
Right.
How did you guys learn from that? How did you not get demoralized by that? How do you turn around the next week against a Power 5 opponent in Virginia and not get down if something bad happens?
Sure. So I got a chance to talk to the team before Wyoming. And, you know, my message was, you can't be a mental midget, meaning, hey, When bad stuff happens, you cannot go in the tank. You can't live in the guilt of a bad play or the glory of a great play. You got to play the next play. Remember, I was a freshman and I gave up a block punt against Iowa on a windy day at Memorial Stadium. Shocking, it was windy. And I was demoralized. I think I was in the tank defensively. I was told the story to him. I was in the tank defensively the whole game because I was just like, man, I just kept thinking about the block punt and I just couldn't get over it and all this stuff. So it's definitely a maturing process, right? I also think you have to have something that you can go back and rely on that, you know what, we're going to be good. And I thought we had that with our defense. Hey, we can rely on our defense. I thought we had that with the run game. You can do that. Because when we got 2007, it was like, okay, we can always hand the ball to Rashard or have Juice run the ball. Right. We're going to get three. You know, so you kind of have something to get you back going, right? And I thought we had that. I think that's why I think we're a better football team. The reality is that we just don't quite know how to finish yet like we want to. And as Brett said it, I think in his press conference, the game really should have been putting out of reach when we scored off that turnover, got a stop. In the middle of third quarter, that's when you put your, you know, foot on the throat and basically say, we're going to ram it down your throat, get up two scores. But we dilly-dallied, you know, and you know, had the pass to Chase that was a fumble and all these things. We didn't really finish it off. And so I think the matter of learning how to finish teams is still a growing process.
Yeah, I talked about this with Joey Wagner after the game, like what play stood out most because there's so many of them that really hurt the most. I thought it was the Chase Brown fumble, right? Like Ford missed the block, gets hit. But also, as I look back at the film, I didn't realize in real time, Jay, that the Chase Brown's throw was pretty good. And hit Pat Bryant in the hands. Like that
that was huge. Well, and here's the thing. Even watching the game I was watching at home, I thought the announcers did a poor job of saying that Pat Bryant dropped the ball. It was more like, oh, look at the pressure they got on Chase Brown. It kind of messed up the timing. Actually, it was executed to perfection. He was wide open and hit him in the hands. I don't know if Pat Bryant lost it or what, but
it looked like his eyes went down, right? He's looking at the
defender. It looked like his eyes went down at the last second, right? I don't really know what's up with our – maybe our receivers over the last couple of years just aren't used to getting the ball thrown to them. So they're not used to catching the ball in real time. But I feel like we have a ton of drops. I'm telling you, DeVito could have had a monster game if he just didn't have any drops. And he throws a pretty catchable ball. It's not like he's just slinging, you know, rockets out there. So – they've got a long way to go as far as the receivers and whatnot, but no question they should win that game. I'm not sure, you know, no way sure how good Indiana is, but it sure seemed like it was there for the taking for Illinois.
Jay, Virginia coming up this week. It's a different team than it was last year, but Brennan Armstrong still pretty dang good. They got good wide receivers. But what are you expecting with Tony Elliott now leading the crew and a bunch of transfers out, especially on the offensive line? Surprised a little bit that Illinois came out as a 3.5-point favorite. That number's gone up to 4.5. So the odds makers are in the money. Seems to be going Illinois' way.
That's pretty shocking to me, especially after last year. And I don't know if you watch. I mean, we both watched that game. I think you drove out for that game.
Yeah.
You've had some long drives back, So it's surprising to me, they've lost a ton, right? I mean, they've lost a ton with the coaching. They've gained a ton as well. They didn't look that impressive against, was it Richmond, right? They played. But I think they're going to be an improved football team from, obviously, week one. I think we're going to have a difficult time not giving up yards in the pass game. And so we're going to get up some big plays in the pass game. The big question to me is, can we win the turnover battle and can we stop the silly penalties? We've had those the first two games. I don't think we're good enough to beat people with penalties and turnovers. I do think we play clean football. We're going to be okay, right? I think Tommy DeVito is getting more and more confident. I hope Julian Pearl is back. Maybe, maybe not. And I hope Chase Brown is, I mean, we think he's healthy, but he's just at 36 carries. So, he's like, is he tired? Is he good to go? So, I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be a very close game, but we're going to give some explosive passes in the pass game. I guess I'm wondering though, is this one of those games where Ryan Walters kind of has a unique customized defense he rolls out for Virginia, not as a payback, but just they have a very unique passing attack. Brennan Armstrong kind of shredded us pretty bad last year. And so he's going to come in with a lot of confidence. Will they have some unique other than just the man coverage? Basically all they've done the first two games. It's been pretty effective, but that's all I've done.
Yeah, it's going to be it's a much different defense than it was a year ago, and that's because of partly the Virginia game. They made some big changes there, but certainly a different Illinois team, but a different Virginia team, though, with some really good strengths in that passing game. Well, Jay, it would be huge to bounce back and win that game, get people excited again, potential for a 3-1 start, but no razor-thin margin for error for this team, and we saw that against Indiana last week. So looking forward to talking to you about it next week.
Yeah, always. And I would just say this, like, again, I cannot read it. I actually, of course, I'm down in the dumps on Friday night, right? I'm like, I can't even go to sleep. I'm mad. I'm like, it's hard to be an Illinois fan, all this stuff. But in my heart of hearts, I really believe we're better. I really believe we're building the right way. It's not fluky. Like, we have guys that are hitting people. We're physical on defense. We're physical on offense. We've got a quarterback that can throw. We were bad on special teams, but hey, we can be better. Caleb Griffin hit a big field goal. Like, we're better. And so it's frustrating you don't get the win, but I really feel confident about the way we're headed. And I feel confident that we're going to exceed last year's win total.
There you go. Jay Layman. Thank you, man.
Great stuff as always from Jay Layman. He is the, you know it, he's the goods. Great stuff from Jay Layman. And yeah, I mean, I wrote about it. That was a huge missed opportunity for Illinois to be 2-0. To have a lot of excitement, a lot of momentum heading in this Virginia game. I think attendance was impacted by that. I think Illinois probably lost thousands of fans showing up to Virginia because of it. But beat Virginia. Beat Virginia and get that excitement back. And the fact that Illinois is 4.5-point favorites as I'm recording this on Monday night, it says they got a chance. And they've done some good things. They've done some really good things. I thought they'd... I don't know if dominated is the word, but I've seen the metrics that say Illinois would have won 65-70% of the time in a normal game with how they played, and that includes the turnovers and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's just you got to find a way to win that game. You need to find a way to win those games moving in the future, but I think this team's going to be competitive. I think Brett Bielema has set that standard, that's for sure. Now it's finding a way to win more of those close ones, to find more ways of closing that out, because that has been the issue. You look at Purdue, you look at Maryland, you look at this one against Indiana. You know, you were able to do it against Penn State, but you didn't close that one, really, right? It took, how long did it take you to close that one? And that was just an epic performance by the defense. You know, the defense has to learn how to close some games too, but they're the ones that have given Illinois so many opportunities here. So, yes, the defense need to be better. They need to do towards the end of the game is what I'm saying, and that final drive, you got to find a way to get to the quarterback. You got to find a way to, you know, not blow your coverage or all that stuff, or win some individual battles. But they've been playing so well, but still they have to do their job, but obviously the offense has to do their job and finding a way to score. You got to find a way to score when you get into territory like that. You can't have a turnover on downs. You can't have, you know, three fumbles or two other turnovers inside Indiana territory. That just can't happen. This can't happen. They got to find a win, win those games. But now you bounce back. Now you have to bounce back. You can't let one bad loss affect your next week. And if you get a good win, you're feeling good again. You got a chance to go 3-1 heading into conference play against a really tough schedule. Be kind of be where a lot of us projected they would be. If you get to 3-1, you feel like you're giving yourself a chance down the stretch. If you're at 2-2, not so much, right? Like, it's just putting yourself in a hole. Not that the season would be over. If you're 3-1, I think you'd recapture some of that excitement. You feel like you'd be taking a step forward. So we'll see what they can do against Virginia. We'll have a big preview later in the week with a Virginia beat writer as well as Joey Wagner previewing that game for you. We're hoping to get a Hoops podcast at some point this week as well. So be on the lookout for that. I'll give you one last pitch for the VIP sale. You got, what, under 24 hours probably of listening to this to get and take advantage of that 75% off sale. If you're not a VIP member, I promise you it's worth $2 a month. We work hard enough. That'll be worth $2 a month. I think it's worth more than that, but you can take advantage of it for $2 a month and check us out at Illini Inquirer. All right, we appreciate all of you for all your support, whether you're a VIP member or just listen to the podcast, just check the website for the free stuff. We appreciate you. Give us a follow, a like, a review, wherever you get your podcast. Follow us on YouTube as well. Everybody, take care of each other. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.